Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
St. Louis, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Friday to everybody. Happy Friday, Wheels.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, dude.
How did the podcast go?
Really long. No, it was my fault. I derailed it for a little bit. So I'm Derek Gould's guest this week on the best podcast in baseball.
And nice.
We got derailed on baseball labor stuff. Uh-huh. So basically, it's a double album now. We've got one that's going to be all Cardinals stuff and like winter meetings and a little Hall of Fame voting. And then the other one's going to be us arguing about labor issues.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. It's good.
It was pretty great.
I enjoyed Rush Hour Sports last night where you guys were basically saying what's the craziest thing the Cardinals could do in the offseason, which would still be realistic.
Right, right.
That was interesting.
And did you like Matt's? I like Matt's answer a lot. He went first on it, but his answer was they trade everybody.
Yeah.
Right, like that would be the craziest thing that is just remotely possible, right? Because they're not trading J.J. Weatherholt, right? That's not going to happen.
Why is no one talking about, other than Carriker, he's the only one I've heard, maybe you guys have too, talking about J.J. in center field?
Because he's never played the outfield.
Okay.
Also, just in general, the players are more valuable when they play on the dirt. Like you can move to the outfield later if the stuff on the dirt doesn't work, but you're more valuable as a high end offensive second baseman than as a center fielder, especially when you've not played that position. Now, I'm sure at some point in Weatherholt's life he's played some outfield.
Yeah,
but he was a shortstop and a second baseman in college. He's been a shortstop and played a little second and third in the minors for the Cardinals. And you have people like they want to have more look at Victor Scott too. For the time being, that's stuff that can change down the road. But like the point is, like where you are now is partly that, but mostly it's the players are more valuable when they play the infield.
Yeah. I mean, you know me. I will be at 40 games next year, regardless of who's playing. But it will be weird to lose the personalities.
Yeah, and I don't think they're going to move them all, right? I think it's going to be a couple of the players that we're talking about. So if you take that group of Brendan Donovan and Nolan Arenado. And Arenado's kind of a separate thing from the other guys, right? Moving him is largely about two things. Putting him in a better place where he is in his career, putting him in more of a contending situation is the idea. Because, you know, it's not fun for a guy in that part of their career to be going through a rebuild. But also clearing up playing time.
Yeah.
Because if he's here, he's going to play. You're not going to sit the Hall of Famer. They're not going to do that for sure. And whether guys like me argue you should sit him more or not, that doesn't mean they're going to do it. They're probably not. So it's partly, it's those two things. It's clearing up some at-bats for the other dudes, but also doing right by the player and giving him an opportunity, which is what they did with Sonny Gray. And it's the same idea if they move Wilson Contreras too. And again, you might see two of those guys go. I would say that's probably your bet. If you're talking about Arenado, Donovan, Nootbaar, Burleson, although I don't think Burleson's going anywhere, I'd be surprised if that happened. Like, there are going to be probably a couple of those guys moved. You got to clear a path for JJ, first of all.
Yeah.
And if he goes and has a good spring, he'll be their opening day. I mean, he's that good.
You know
good.
Who I have heard talk about JJ and center besides Carriker is Rachel. She does that quite a lot.
I thought that was happening in The Office the other day. I was like,
she does that quite a lot.
Rach has been doing some scouting.
It was so weird because when you said that you and Gould were arguing about labor issues, I was like, but I was hearing Rachel arguing about baseball labor issues. I don't know with who. It was somebody.
Yeah, she dominated lunch today.
Yeah, you know, I bring these things up and I just feel like, you know, falls on deaf ears.
Yeah.
You want to hear character?
Pearls before swine.
Yeah.
I'm like, here she goes again. Blah, blah, friggin' blah. J.J. Weatherholt.
Salary floor.
Constantly talking about it. You know what I thought about last night? You know who the coolest guy ever in the history of guys? You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Open your mind. The black 70s G.I. Joe. Remember that guy with the fuzzy hair and the fuzzy beard? About 10 inches tall.
Yeah, you're talking about the real size one, not the little plastic ones with the joints that move.
No, the 12-incher.
The one that was the size of like the $6 million man.
Yes.
And then the other G.I. Joes.
They had the beards.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it actually was like fake hair.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember
those guys were cool.
Yeah, those were pretty good.
Those guys were cool.
I will say, though, I kind of liked the smaller ones better as I got older.
See, I didn't have those.
No, because you were a little bit ahead. Yeah.
8 years ahead of you, so.
Because those were cool because they were the same size as a lot of the Star Wars figures, and you could have G.I. Joe and Star Wars battles.
Yeah.
Plus, they were better to shoot down with rubber bands. You just place them up over places.
I was a big mixer. I used to love to field two football teams made up of my action figures and my Hot Wheels.
Oh.
So, like, it was really mix and match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good time.
That was fun. I had buddies. I had like a pretty normal childhood when it came to friends, but my sister and brother were both gone. So I was like an only child. So I spent a ton of time just creating universes in my bedroom.
I loved doing that.
Me too.
Yeah. I did a lot of it with baseball cards. I'm sure you're shocked.
Yeah.
But I would take the baseball cards out and put them in the positions in the field on my carpet in my bedroom, and then you just like have one team over here and they're hitting. I had a whole system made up of like rolling dice. It was not the games that they have, but they're like it's like Strat-O-Matic.
Yeah.
He's like rolled dice, and we made up our own little scoring system.
Rach, you strike me as a singing into a hairbrush girl.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I did a lot of weird stuff.
You and
still
me both, sister.
Currently do. When I have a moment alone, I am having a conversation.
Are we sure
myself.
That it's weird though? Because
it's not. That's the thing is, it's
kids
not
do
weird.
Stuff is what it is.
Everyone does it, but then we all pretend like it's so strange.
Yeah.
Like no, everybody's doing weird stuff.
Yeah, when you're a kid, weird shit is kind of the norm.
Well, me and Stacy, my best friend, when I was like from kindergarten through 10 or 12, we used to play the Beatles all the time. And she had a couple of like Beat Sears guitars, and she was like, she would do it because I wanted to do it. And I was
That's
such
a good friend.
I was such a little freak. I would be like, okay, I'm Paul, and I look like he looks right in this picture. And she'd be like, yeah, knock yourself, man. Whatever. And I'm like, no, say it. I look back at her, and I'm like, God, what a
every
freak.
Kid does that stuff, man.
Every kid does weird things. I did weirder things.
I just elevated it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I had very few filters on my little demented brain. If I thought of it, I'm like, let's do that. Andrew,
great.
Who are you in the privacy of your bedroom? Keep it clean.
Yeah, I'm singing. I'll be singing. I sing to Gigi. Cats love when you sing to them. I don't know if you guys know this.
Lucy does not like it when I sing.
Really?
Yeah. She gets...
Do you sing softly or do you sing loud?
I mean, I sing all sorts of ways, and every time she's like, stop.
Do you
that.
Sing softly?
Does she
I sing softly to my little kitty cat. Like,
can you give us an example?
She really likes I Can't Help Falling in Love. That's one of her favorites.
How's that go?
The Elvis song.
I think he's trying to get you to sing it.
I'm not going
to
sing it, but
why would you sing it?
You just said privacy in my own home. This is me. This is a moment between me and my kitty cat.
He's drawing a boundary.
Drawing a boundary that I'm not going to sing like I sing to my kitty cat. To these people
is that
out there,
wise men say.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. What does she do when you sing?
She just snuggles up and she closes her eyes and
that's nice.
Yeah, it's like a lullaby.
Didn't know the cats like that.
Yeah.
All I knew is that monkeys love magicians. So let's
She also, Gigi also loves close-up magic. Yeah, very much. No, I can't do. If I could do close-up magic, you guys would know because I'd be doing it.
Do you guys ever have a magic kit?
No, I was never smart or dexterous enough for magic, and I think my parents even knew. Yeah. Like, this kid's not going to be able to fool anybody. Jeez.
Remember having one of those? I never used stuff for its intended purpose. I was a big repurposer.
Okay.
And in fact, the more a toy had a thing, like, oh, it's you push this button and he says this stuff. Like, I was never interested in that. I always wanted to use my imagination, like, no, you're going to do this and you're going to do that.
Man, you guys will be floored. Everything I did was sports. Every imaginary thing I did, replaying hockey games in my basement because I had a hockey set up down there. I would replay I would get the box score from the game and replay the game in my basement. And I would do it almost every day when I was a kid. Basketball games. Yeah. Just skating around, shooting, scoring, diving, slamming into the walls. And that was it. I did way more whether it was that, baseball, football, basketball, didn't matter. That was the vast majority of my 90% of what I did as a kid when I was on my own.
Between shooting baskets on my basketball goal in my yard and playing catch, probably 75% of my childhood.
Yeah. I mean, that's just counting what I was doing, you know, when it was just me by myself. With my friends, it was literally nonstop. It's all we did. We didn't do magic. We didn't do We didn't have science kits. You know, some people have those. Yeah. Like, I had one friend that had a science kit and he started bringing it out. We're like, what's that for? I don't want to do that.
Kevin knocked it out of his hands on the ground.
No, no, no. It was my friend. It was my best friend. He was my best man at my wedding. But I'm just like, no, we're going to go.
It's a really messed up thing to do to your best friend, dude.
I didn't do it.
So since we were talking about like the G.I. Joe and all that, I thought of this action figure, I guess, that my brother had growing up. It was a Babe Ruth collector's doll.
Weird.
Yeah, I remember, like, he picked it out at Kmart or something, and, like, remember Layaway? Like, he put it on Layaway
really?
And saved his money to get it. Yeah. I was able to find the doll. Right now on eBay, it is $499.
He still got it?
No, I don't think so.
What do you think? What do he pay for it? Do you remember?
Probably, like, $20 or $30. Yeah. But I liked to play with the Babe Ruth because it was I didn't have a Ken doll, so Babe was a good stand-in.
Babe was getting around
to date all the Barbies. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, not that dissimilar from reality.
I was gonna say, Babe was kind of known for getting around town. Why is that so funny?
I don't know. I've got a joke in my head about me using my Planet of the Apes to play with my Lou Gehrig doll, but it's just not coming together in my head. It's Friday. Charlie Brown, this is Joe Pepitone. Lay down the boogie and play that funky music until you die. Welcome back, DGS on KMOX 122. Rach, have a shout out for another DGS 2%er.
Yeah, a couple of folks here. Let me see. I've made some screenshots. So, first one I wanted to say hello to was Jacob. He says, I'm a longtime fan since 2009. Now I'm in the top 2% of people that listen to this show on the podcast via Spotify. 32 years old now, and I started listening to it when I was in high school. Jacob has listened for 12,567 minutes.
Damn, brother.
And then we got another person weighing in on X, I thought, anyway.
Just make it up.
Oh, here we go. Jared. Jared doesn't have 21,674 minutes.
Dang.
And DGS was his top podcast on Amazon Music last year. So thank you, Jared. Cool.
So the first one was 210 hours.
Uh-huh.
And what was the number on the second one?
Hold on one second.
21,674.
You love doing this, don't you?
I do. 361 hours. Thank you, everyone who listens so much. That's so
fun. For sure. You know, this is very sweet. You know who I think literally has listened to this show more than anyone else. My mom.
Yeah.
My mom listened to, I'm sure there were days she had the flu or something, but pretty much listened to every minute of every show.
Jeez.
Yeah. She was a KMOX person, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she would listen, like I've always said, 24/7.
That's crazy.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I like how you said that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Little ZZ Toppy.
Mm-hmm.
You just had to do it two more times, and it would have been the song.
Mm-hmm. I just keep doing it. I don't know why I'm still doing it.
Hey, I apologize if you were watching the stream. We had to end the stream.
Rachel messed it up.
No, I didn't. None of the cameras in the studio are working, and quite frankly, I'm not going to spend the next 3 hours working on that while I have to also be doing a radio show, so we decided to nix the stream today.
It's your Friday, too. You deserve a Friday.
What does that mean?
You don't have to do all these jobs. It aren't even your job.
Well, it's not even that. It's just like, I'm not going to be like removed from the on-air product trying to deal with cameras that don't work. Like, Let's just call it a day for now. Maybe we'll try again later.
A study at UC Berkeley found that chimpanzees are drunk almost all the time.
In the wild?
Yes. From fermented fruit. And that there are like alcoholic chimps who find the fermented fruit, and then they're like, I don't want anything that's not fermented. Let that nanner sit there for a while. I'm going to get wide.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. I think we're finding out more and more just how alike we are to so many animals. How much they're like us that we don't even think about. Good story, Dave.
Yeah, it's crazy that, I mean, like, out on the outer side of it, your appearance, the appearance of everything is being very different. But when you really get into the details, there's so much more that's exactly the same than is different.
Yeah. Agreed. Wow. It's almost the bottom of the hour.
Deep thoughts.
Rach just gave me my live, and I'm like, what are you giving me that for?
He's like, oh my gosh. Well, would you look at the time?
We're a long way from that. Big weekend plans? Anybody doing anything fun?
I think I'm putting up the Christmas tree at my mom's house tomorrow.
Nice.
With the nieces. So that'll be fun. Planning on stopping by Schnucks on the way up and grabbing some delicious Schnucks donuts to share. So looking forward to a nice Christmassy day.
That makes me laugh. You know where the venture was?
Yeah.
Out in Alton?
Uh-huh.
We were, isn't there a viaduct, like a train bridge right there?
Okay. Right there.
Right there. About this time of year, a truck stopped in front of my mom and dad and I, and then it took off kind of in a jerk, and a box fell off.
Ooh.
And my dad grabbed it like he was in The Sopranos, and we got it home, and we had no idea what it could have been, anything. And what it was a bright pink artificial Christmas tree.
Oh, cool.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Did you guys put it up?
You think?
Was he like the dad in Christmas Story?
Never seen my dad prouder.
Was he like that with like the leg lamp?
Total.
That's awesome. It's gorgeous.
Total.
Fell off the back of a truck.
Literally fell off the back of a truck. How great is that?
I remember just being like, we should put it back. Dad's like, hell with that. Find your keeper, son. It's the law of the jungle.
Common law.
Common law. It's my tree.
Possession is 90% of the law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX 133. Got a couple questions emailed to me. Two different people, similar topics. The second one is about the strikes on the drug boats, which we have more clarification of. And I'll handle that in a second. First one was from Tina, who is currently in the Air Force. And she asked me, hey, Dave, you seem really into the military. And I know you do a bunch of stuff for the military. And you say you never served. Why didn't you serve? Okay. Don't really ask me that point blank. Couple things. The overall, and Wheels, you grew up in a different place and 8 years behind me, but it was similar.
Yep, very similar.
When I graduated from high school from Roxana in 1982, it just wasn't a thing. A couple guys joined the Marines from, you know, but it just wasn't a thing. And I don't know how to explain it more than that. But the more honest answer, now that I'm 61 and I've gotten to know all of these veterans and, you know, been involved with the Marine Corps and stuff like that, it really comes down to, Tina, that I was never selfless or brave enough. You know, my dad served, and I can't even make an excuse like, oh, no one in my family ever. No, my dad was in the Navy in World War II. My brother was in the Army during the Vietnam War. He was in Germany, but it was, you know, 71 to 76. And I didn't have that belly fire to serve, which I regret. And then secondly, it wasn't like I was so cowardly, like I just can't do it, but And I regret that. I wish I had. If I could go back, it's one of the few things in my life I would change. I would definitely serve in the military. I think it's a great thing. As far as the boats, so here's kind of what I learned from, you know, following this yesterday. It seems that Pete Hegseth did not say kill them all or no survivors or anything like that. Sounds like he was not in the room for the second strike, for whatever reason that is. The second strike on the boat that we're all talking about was about an hour after the first strike. So this admiral, who was a Navy SEAL and commands the Navy SEALs and has decades of service, was watching this along with, I'm sure, dozens of other, you know, defense people, and made the determination that they could still be a threat. And then it broke down by party line. Most of the Democrats coming out of watching the video and the hearings were saying, oh, my God, it's a travesty and we should be, you know, humiliated. It was just terrible. And it's one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen. And then Tom Cotton's dumbass said, it looked to me like one of the guys was just sunbathing. Like, come on.
Ugh, that sounds like not dangerous.
Right. So here's where I come down on it. I will give the benefit of the doubt to a 30-year Navy SEAL admiral. I will give him the benefit of the doubt. I wasn't there. If I had been there, I don't know what I'm looking at. He made a decision. He did what he thought was right. I will support that. Personally, it seems to me like we probably committed a war crime. But I will give deference to this guy. And as you are all formulating in your head, especially my MAGA listeners, well, why wouldn't you give that to Pete Hegseth? For the same reason that I would give deference and respect to Wheeler if you told me something. But there are people in my life who are floaters who I would not give that to. That if they said something, I'd be like, I think you're probably lying. Kevin's a good man, truth teller. Pete Hegseth is a piece of crap who I think is a coward and lies every chance he gets. So that's as fair as I can be. Hegseth seems to be off, you know, the hook. I will give the benefit of the doubt to this admiral, although personally it seems like you probably didn't need to kill guys an hour after when they're just laying out there holding on to flotsam. Thoughts?
I don't think it's illogical to say that I would defer to or give benefit of the doubt to somebody who has put in 30 years of service reaching the level of admiral. In fact, I would argue that guy's probably more qualified to have Pete's job than Pete is.
100%.
Which is the problem with Pete. It's forget policy. It's that you're not qualified to be the Secretary of Defense. And I'm not calling it Secretary of War because it's dumb. You're not qualified to be that just because you served. There are levels of service. And not just levels as far as difficulty. Levels in terms of experience.
Administration.
Years of being involved. And somebody that's been around for 30 years and has risen to the rank of a 3 or 4 star general or an admiral or whatever, there's leadership experience in there. There's real world experience in there. And that's the stuff that Pete doesn't have, even though he did serve. And I always respect his service because, like you, I didn't do it. And I give credit to people who do. But just like you don't look at anyone who's ever played baseball and say you could manage the Cardinals, you don't look at a guy who anybody who's ever served and say you can be in charge of the Department of Defense. That's the difference, I think. Yeah. And what your explanation is about giving the admiral more benefit of the doubt makes total sense. It's logical. He's been in there. He understands things. Doesn't mean he can't do something wrong. It just means that those of us who don't know those details very well are going to be more likely to say, there are things he probably knows that I don't. Mm-hmm. But I still agree, generally speaking, that we shouldn't be using the military as the world police. Are we establishing that these boats are headed to the U.S.? Are we establishing that those boats can make it 2,000 miles across the ocean to get to the U.S.? Can we establish that we're not just telling them, hey, turn around and go home? Or I'd feel differently. Like, if you're getting closer to the U.S. and you're meeting them just outside, you know, in international waters, like, hey, turn around. If you come into ours, you're going out. Like, I give a different vibe about that than going 2,000 miles away and saying we're going to blow things up that we don't even know are headed in our direction. And if we're trying to fight the import of drugs into the United States, they don't come from Venezuela. The vast majority of the drugs that come in illegally to the United States come in through Mexico, through the Mexican cartels, or through Colombia. So why are we picking on the things that are happening in Venezuela or near Venezuela? Does that not make you wonder if there isn't some larger idea at play here? When we hear the things that we've heard about possibly targeting Venezuela for whatever reason, that's why it's bothersome, because the real problems, the bigger problems, they don't even come from Venezuela for us.
There's a new story on today that Maduro has asked Donald Trump for $200 million to leave Venezuela.
For him to leave?
Yes.
Like,
so for, give me money
like
and
for
I'm
us
gone?
To leave them alone or to get
We give them
Maduro
$200
out.
Million, Maduro leaves.
Oh, okay.
So we just don't like him?
You got me.
I don't care, by the way.
I'm like, mud puddle deep on this.
I don't like him. I don't think he's a good guy. That's not so. None of this is an argument in favor of Venezuela, by the way.
But and I'm not just picking a fight here. Doesn't he also seem like exactly the kind of guy that Trump would pardon?
I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean,
for real, drug dealers and fraudsters and hundreds of millions of dollars guys. Like, how is Maduro any worse than the people he's pardoning?
That's a very valid question. I don't know, but I think it's a very valid question.
Rach, thoughts?
I mean, with all the stuff with Hegseth and everything, I I'm not in the military. I don't usually wade into these type of waters when stuff like this is happening. And I'm also not like super hell-bent on like proving that Pete Hegseth did the wrong thing. I think a lot of people are doing that. It's like, since it's Pete Hegseth, I'm going to like hyper-focus on this and be way more into it if it was someone else. I just look at this. I just hope that there's justice somehow. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and try to tell the U.S. military what they should or shouldn't be doing. So that's why I don't really pipe up too much during these conversations.
I just want, the people that are supposed to be our representatives, they're not some separate entity. They're not on a different level of society, right? The people that are our elected officials, and that includes the White House, and that includes, and of course, by definition, the military falls under the purview of those people, right? The military answers to Congress, to the White House, right? They're not just on their own. They're not some separate thing. And when we're doing things like this, when we're saying we're trying to keep America safe from drugs, why are we targeting a country that accounts for less than 8% of the drugs that come to the United States? 84% of the cocaine that comes to the U.S. is from Colombia, and it comes up through Mexico or through the Gulf of Mexico, through the Pacific going around.
I think you mean Gulf of America.
That's fine. That's fine.
So, okay. So I have a question, because you're making such a good point, Wheels. Like, why are we hyper fixated on these boats? Why do you think that is? Because the way you just laid it out, it seems like these people are lying when they say, like, well, we've got to keep the drug. Like, that's probably not the actual reason why you're doing this. So what do you think the actual reason is?
I have no, this is not a theory. This is just thinking out loud. They have some other agenda involving Venezuela, and this is a way to either push Maduro out, create pressure, show strength, whatever, draw them into something else. I don't like that makes more sense than what you're telling us. Because what you're telling us is we're trying to keep them, but you're only going for the small fish when it comes to the suppliers of illegal drugs to the United States. The fentanyl's not coming from Venezuela. Most fentanyl comes in from China. And most fentanyl is brought to China by U.S. citizens. I think the number I saw was 60%, something like that. So, like, there are, I'm all for trying to stop illegal activities. Like, but let's go for the ones that are going to make a dent and not go for the one that might lead you to gain some other thing. Whether it's creating a conflict or maybe avoiding a conflict by showing power, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Like, do you guys think it could be as simple as, this is an easy way to show that we're the biggest kid on the playground? Yeah.
And again, to them specifically, because if we're having issues and you're trying to get Maduro to leave or you're trying to enact some form of change, flexing your muscles on them in this way in international waters is probably not going to cause you to be drawn into a direct military conflict, right? Because you're only the way you're framing it, we're only going after illegal criminals anyway. So it can be an end around to exerting pressure. Again, whatever, I don't know what it is. I don't know if you're trying to draw somebody into something or deter them from something, whatever. But be honest about what's happening. I know you probably can't, but just, you know, when you're being gaslit, it feels weird. When you're hearing this, we got to protect the U.S. from drugs, well, then get after the cartels in Mexico, because they're the ones doing it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, DGS. Playing some kind of one-hit wonder stuff today.
All right.
It's the Sister Hazel. Remember these guys?
Mm-hmm. I remember this song.
I saw them live. My buddy Pablo used to own a place downtown, and then they had the side door, which is a music venue, and I saw these guys there. Really, really cool. Really fun. Did you see that Donald Trump has fired his architect? Evidently, he wants the ballroom to be so big that it will dwarf the White House. And this architect basically said, I can't do it. Like, it's outside my professional comfort. And so he fired him, found someone. They're like, I'll build as big as you want. So there you go.
You're going to make it bigger than the White House.
Sounds like it.
How tacky is that?
Personally, I think it's quite tacky, but
extremely.
You know, I've got Trump derangement syndrome, so I think everything's weird.
What? I don't know, man. I got weird people that are always like, it's got to be bigger than everyone else. Always make me feel like there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, but I mean, that's Trump going all the way back.
No, and I think it's a lot of people, too. It's just I don't get that. Like, everything I do has to be bigger. Like, okay, calm down.
Okay, let me stick up for the ballroom slightly, because I just have had several listeners reach out to me about this. So a ballroom might not be the worst thing to build. I understand, like, the way it's been rolled out is not great. But apparently, like, sometimes they'll have these state dinners and what have you, and people are having to use, like, porta-potties on the lawn because there's just not enough room to contain everyone. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying, like, I'm so glad they're building the ballroom. I just don't know if it's quite as simple as, like, well, Trump just wants it, and that's the only reason we're doing it.
I don't mind a ballroom.
Uh-huh.
I will very much mind this ballroom, because it's going to look like the Oval Office.
Yeah, like tacky.
Well, yes.
My bigger issue, yeah, the tackiness of it, like, we have to make it bigger than the most important building in the United States is a little bit much. But what I hate about it is this is being paid for by a bunch of billionaires who are paying for access. And those types of things are the things that should bother all of us as regular people. I say it all the time. We spend way too much time yelling at each other. We spend way too little time paying attention to the fact super wealthy are just buying access.
Let's say it's going to be $400 million. That's about right. Would you prefer that it came from the taxpayers or from the private donors who are obviously looking for inside access?
It would be fine to me if you're going to do it from private donors if it's in smaller amounts that don't come with the idea that you're going to get some special access. I mean, you know, look at the people that are doing this. It's AI companies, it's media companies, it's all of these giant businesses and people who have massive, important business deals that are going to have to be monitored and regulated by and ruled upon in some cases by people in the White House and by people in the government. That's the stuff that puts all of us as regular Americans at a disadvantage. They're not there to bargain for what's good for you and me. So which of these people is? And maybe it's this the symbolism of how goofy and how disjointed the whole process is.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.